This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, and Town Hall Academy. Love to do Town Hall Academies. I'm really starting to call them masterminds because there's so much positivity and great ideas shared. We've got a great episode here today. It's about company meetings, or so many times they're called huddles. And I'm not sure why that whole sports analogy thing happened. We're going to have to ask Bill Hill, because that's what he calls them. Here's who's with me today. I got a great, great panel. Jamie Carlson, Irvine's Auto Repair and Grand Rapids Hybrids. Hi, Jamie.
Hello, Carm. Thanks for having me today.
We had dinner together maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I got to be there when you won the Humanitarian Award.
Thank you. I didn't say that so that you could say that. I didn't. And I continue to be extremely humbled for that.
But it is so cool to sit across from Tracy and watch you two celebrate that together. That was a special moment.
Thank you. You're an individual who's won some great honors in our industry, too. The Apex Shop Owner of the Year 2021 and the 2019 Woman in Auto Care Shop Owner of the Year. So congrats. And I'm sure there's many more that I don't even know about. Bill Hill is here from Mighty Auto Pro, Medina, Ohio. Hello, Bill.
Hello. How is everyone?
Good, Bill.
We are great. We'll probably see Bill here in a few months for the presentation of the Brakes for Breasts check that's coming up.
Looking forward to that.
Leanne and Laura, they just do such an incredible job. And Doug Callahan is here from Vic's Service Center, Wainwright, Alberta.
Hey, everybody.
I met Doug so many years ago, and we've kind of followed his shop going from this small little two or three bayer to this monstrosity that you have now. And that was a great, great thing, and great shop operator up there. Listen, thank you so much to Napa Trax for their sponsorship. Did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? Well, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. So I wanted to do a show on meetings or huddles for so long, and I hear a lot about it. People come on the show and they say, yeah, last meeting we did this and that. And I know a lot of shop owners that don't hold meetings at all. This whole episode was to maybe get the ice broken for them and listen to some people that do it and why they do it. Here's what I want to know. What's the best time of the day? What would be the purpose of holding meetings? Is it a chance for the owners to have listening time? Different meeting leads for every meeting. I kind of hear a little bit about that. Are there specific topics? How's that two-way communication stuff work? Discover or solve issues that go on in the company is a great opportunity for that. Is it good for culture? Sure it is. And you get a chance to manage by walking around, by being out there in the shop or wherever it is that you hold the meeting. So I'm going to start with Bill. You told me that you do morning huddles with your technicians.
Oh, we do a morning huddle every morning. My technicians have to be there by 7:45 in the morning. They have to be ready to go by 8 o'clock. So what happens in my shop is we all gather in a little huddle. Some people call it a powwow. I call it a huddle. Let me just start with this. Every Monday morning, I take an extra few minutes and I talk to my staff about how their weekend was, what they did with the kids, that type of thing, because it's important for me. One of the things I am not very good at is having one-on-one conversations with my staff. It's not a good skill for me. So what I've had to learn to do over the last 10 or 12 years is ask those questions of those kinds of things to make it personal one-on-one. And it makes me feel like I'm a part of what's going on. And I do care. I just am not one of those people that tends to be having conversation with them about that. So with that being said, what we do is every morning we have a huddle, and what we decide is what cars are coming in, who's working in what vehicles, what parts we're waiting for, how much longer it's going to take before it's finished. What we have also that's pending for later in the day, it also gives us the staff an idea of, because I have 17 bays, we do a lot of bouncing around for technicians. So if he's waiting for, let's just say, a part that's coming from a dealer at maybe 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, I know I have 2 to 3 hours that we can get him involved with something else. So he may be the person that we give check vehicles out. He may get a couple of the oil changes. He will definitely get the first waiter in the morning. But we use that basically to get our day started so everybody knows exactly what's expected. I know that when we were talking earlier, Carm, you had mentioned that you feel like a lot of shops don't use morning huddles. And what I found for me, one of the reasons I did not start morning huddles for a long time was because I always seemed to have that one employee that showed up 5 to 10 minutes late. Instead of being there a quarter 8, he's showing up at 5 to 8 or 5 after 8. And now I've had this long conversation with all my other members of my team, and he's not there yet. So one of the things that this has made me do is now I have a policy of tardiness. You can't be late. 7:45:01 is late. 7:44:59 is on time. So all my staff knows that they need to be on time. And if they're going to be at 30 seconds late or a minute late, they need to let us know that. So we'll wait for the morning huddle to get it started before they come in.
Everyone, I've heard the discussion about tardiness, and that is when you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. And when you're late, it's unacceptable.
It is absolutely unacceptable in my shop, I could tell you that. And I have a real strong policy again about it. When I hire somebody, have that conversation no less than 3 times, because I think it's very important. You got to be respectful for all your other peers.
It was really good to hear Bill say, Jamie, that I struggled with that.
Yes.
And you guys were in business for 20 years before you started to have meetings.
Because, I don't know, it felt like we were playing at something. And I think like Eric and I, just being partners, you go for a ride and we'd hammer out a lot of things. We didn't need a meeting. And then maybe other volunteer situations I would be in, I couldn't stand meetings because they went on so long. Just a little imposter syndrome. It's kind of like, who do we think we are having meetings? And it has been one of the best things we've done. And Bill, I can see what you were saying about that conversation in the morning, which I'm not often in on, but I think that also gives technician A understanding why some things are happening with technician C. They don't get to see the big picture otherwise. And I think we can get like this on things. So I can see how that would be very beneficial. Also, just starting the meeting, because it's like, yeah, you're late. Fix it. It was hard to start. And I think when we started and we had a list, and also I want to make it worth all of my employees' time. If they're not getting anything out of it, why do they want to come and listen to them talk?
So the great question of worth their time, I love you just said that, is how long does it take when I start meetings just to get a flow, get a feel, get the two-way going? Don't give up after what, 3, 4, or 5 of these things? Keep it going?
Yeah. You got to do it for 30 days to get a feel of what you need to discuss and get some feedback. You're going to find that there's times that you've wasted some of your energy, but you clearly find out whoever's holding that meeting needs to have, even if it's a morning huddle thing, at least 2 or 3 quick points. This is what, and then they're standard. I would think you'd want to touch on certain things like sales yesterday or any issues we ran into, disappointed clients, any of that sort of thing, that we're any communication lines, we can feed them the information is how we want to be able to handle that. And then shut up and listen. Listen to That's what they have to give you for feedback, because a lot of times we get talking and we don't shut up. Just listen to what they're telling you and then commit to doing something about what they're telling you. If it's a piece of broken equipment or if it's a missing tool or any of that stuff, say, that's a great thing. I'll get an answer back tomorrow for our meeting. Then all of a sudden you've got lots of things you're working on.
I think we try real hard to make sure we follow up on that if it's been a request. Even with as small as we are, some employees are just quieter than others. So you kind of have to draw it out of them to have them say something. And they have very important things to say, and we don't shut up.
For those staff, have a communication line that they can get to you, like in the shop, if they can directly say something. Oh, by the way, this. You can even bring it up in a huddle meeting. They would have never brought it up themselves, but then you can tackle it with the group and they feel like I'm actually getting listened to.
Now, something you said, Doug, was very interesting, because you said you can listen to them if they have a problem. And what I have found, because in my head, I'm always like trying to think 2 or 3 steps ahead. So I'll say, well, Kevin, I'm going to have you do this. And Kevin will say, well, why wouldn't you have John do that? Because I have this other thing that I could be finishing up on, because I forgot, because I forget where he's at. So sometimes if you have that great open lines of communication, they can stop you and say, that doesn't make any sense. And this is why. And it's amazing to me, 20 years ago, my staff would never have done that. But in today, having the huddle in it, it's so open and it's so honest and upfront, and everyone knows what the expectations is. My expectations are very clear. At the end of the day, I want to hear cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's what I want. And when I hear that, so do they. Having them come back with feedback and say, Bill, that doesn't make any sense. Why don't we do this? And I got to tell you, more times than not, they're right and I'm wrong.
Well, and as you look at, you're getting bigger, let's say it's not you running the huddle, it's a shop foreman running that huddle. You're maybe not out on the floor. You're getting information back from him. You're going to have a meeting huddle with him or with your advisors. It's just a great practice. But once you've started it in the bays, everybody everybody kind of wants to participate. What about the advisors having a quick huddle with the technicians or something? Maybe the technicians can pass on some stuff. There's great conversations that can happen in a short amount of time, 10, 15 minutes.
I imagine someone has an issue and they're talking amongst themselves about it. Nobody ever listens to me. Who do we tell this to? If I tell it to this person, it may never get where I want it to get. And if there's a beauty of huddles, meetings consistently, even if it's weekly, it's a chance for everyone to bring up their issues. And I'm not saying problems, I'm not saying good things. We all have issues about stuff.
Sure, roadblocks. And I know like our shop foreman is also a technician and is more of a peer with the other technicians. So he has more of an opportunity to just kind of maybe just hear a comment that's made or just a brief frustration. And we have a Tuesday morning management meeting, which to me, again, seems a little silly because it leaves two technicians working in the garage. But it is where those things come up. And it's also Justin's kind of new at being a foreman. And Eric and I are kind of trying to phase ourselves out. So it's also just kind of getting that management team more comfortable with the meetings and having that time as well.
I think also what it does is it makes your team closer. They actually take that extra few minutes. And again, Doug made a good point is my service advisors are both involved with that morning huddle. But I think like before we get out there and we get started, they're all having conversation about basketball game or the football game or what they did the night before. What I hear a lot of after a training session, they're talking the next morning about how the training session went. And we usually spend a few minutes talking about that. But it just brings more of a team like feeling to the whole thing. Nobody feels like they're on the outside looking in, if you will.
Kind of everybody's at the water cooler.
Exactly. Very good point. Absolutely.
Yeah. Boils down to communication through the whole system, through the whole organization, for sure.
I know, Jamie, that you do some fun little things. You hand out certain slips. And again, it's probably all about engagement. Explain this to us. And then the basic question is do they look forward to wanting to participate at that level? Tell us about it.
Well, I used to just write down a number that was during our staff meeting on Tuesdays, which is like just at the end of lunch. And then whoever gets closest gets to pick an envelope, and it's a 5, a 10, or a 20. And then they have to pick where we buy lunch from for everybody on Friday, because I don't like doing that. So I've just recently changed that to something kind of touchy-feely, and I didn't know how it was going to go. And I said, all right, we're going to do this different. I want you to write down something either you are grateful for, something you learned, or something you're stumped about. And it doesn't have to be about work. So it was beautiful the first week, and I like started singing Kumbaya, but one guy's wife, very young, had a stroke. So he had an easy, she's fine. He had an easy one. You know, I'm grateful she's alive. I think there was, I'm grateful for my job. Then another week it was, I'm grateful that we're trusted to run the shop alone and that we're appreciated when we do. That's when we were gone at Vision. It's kind of going okay. And I say, you know, you can have these at your box because we like to encourage, maybe don't go down a rabbit hole on something. It's like, you know, stop and have everyone talk. But even if you have it for that and you bring it into lunch.
Are they anonymous?
No, they read them and they know they're going to. We have 7 employees, including Eric and I. So that's maybe a little bit different. But again, that's even so the quiet ones get heard because some of us aren't quiet.
You just bring up a great point for the ones that aren't quiet, you know, the extroversion type influencer in the industry you all mentioned earlier, you got to learn to shut up and listen. For any of you, was that difficult to do?
Every day.
It's a skill, 100%. It's a skill. You have to. 7 effective questions you should do as a leader. Really, the last thing is just listen. Just listen and listen with intention. Because a lot of times we're busy, we're talking, oh, but what about this car over here? What about this over here? And then we're not actively listening. Mm-hmm. So all those key little things you have to do, eye contact, and repeat back what you're hearing so that you're clear, and all those simple communication things that us as shop owners, sometimes we're just running at a million miles an hour. That's hard for us. It's hard for me. It's a very difficult thing that I've had to learn.
Or to not feel like you have to have an answer right away. It's okay to say, let me look into that. I want to answer everything right away and look like, nope, I have this together. It's all okay. It's okay to not have an answer and to think about it.
Yeah, you can't be the know-it-all. You can't. Period. Serious. Own business or not. And if you try to have an answer every time someone asks you a question on anything, you're doing a disservice to you and your team.
Yeah.
Bill, do you take notes from your people as you're listening to them?
I do. A lot of times we have conversations about tool that maybe needs to be either updated, because I don't keep track of that. They keep track of that themselves. Things that need to be repaired. My staff does a really good job. We have a board of anything they use the last of. They write everything down so we never run out of things. But they're really good about making sure that we follow up on updates, equipment, so we're not falling behind. If we're doing something like a specialty job and we need to order something, it's a specialty tool for like an Audi or a BMW or something of that sort. We talk about that. They bring me what they need. They'll actually go on Amazon and pick it out and show me what it is and bring me a picture of it or email it to me. So yeah, it's a constant dialogue. The thing is that we try and make them about 6 to 8 minutes long. Very rarely do they go much past that.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Jamie's idea of things of being thankful for. Unfortunately for my staff, wow, I think the biggest thing is they're all guys. So they love donuts, breakfast sandwiches. We bring in bagels. So probably 2 or 3 times a week, they get pretty spoiled. Leanne is even worse than I am at that kind of stuff because I'm not there on Tuesdays because I do coaching on Tuesdays. And so she'll like go to the local restaurant and buy them all breakfast sandwiches. They'll say, how come you never do that? Well, because she does it.
We certainly don't do that every morning. Because no, we couldn't do that.
No, it's too expensive.
That's just at our lunch meeting. Well, it's at the end of lunch on Tuesday, but then we buy lunch for everyone on Friday, but we don't want to clog that up with a meeting. That's just to hang out and have lunch.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NAPATRACS, that's NAPATRACS.com. So, Bill, if you implement, what are you grateful for? What did you learn? And what are you stumped with? The first few meetings are going to say they're grateful for the food.
Probably, especially one of my guys. He's a foodie. I say this in all seriousness. Whenever he is at work, he is eating something. He's always chomping. He's got pretzels. He's got potato chips. He's got always something in his toolbox as he's working and getting information with the computer. He's always got something he's munching on. I don't know how he doesn't weigh 600 pounds.
Tell him to enjoy it while he can.
Right?
So I'm a naysayer. I don't want to have meetings. Ultimately, I'm hearing from you that your people look forward to these. Once you get that groove going, and there's a great outcome from these meetings. If you're holding meetings to hold meetings, don't. If you're holding meetings to prove the business, improve their livelihoods, improve the communications, then you've got a great business going.
Here's what I would say. And I think Jamie and Doug, hearing the conversation about why they hold meetings, very much the same as me. It just makes my staff a team. They care about each other. They talk to each other. If I bring in somebody that's a new employee, immediately they're brought into that mix. And they don't feel like they're left out to the side. Like they bring them in and they'll stand here, come on, get in here and talk and that type of thing. And they make everybody feel warm and welcome. But honestly, I can say that the biggest thing, it's been great for the business. It's been great for the communication, but it's made my staff more of a team than anything I've ever done.
If every day is too daunting to somebody that's thinking about doing it, just commit to once a week. Have a morning huddle. Just get started and you'll quickly see that what works and hey, maybe we need to have it every other day, or then all of a sudden we're having it every day. Whatever works for however your communication works through your organization, if it's once a week or whatever, but it needs to happen. And then bigger staff meetings, you need to have on a calendar that everybody knows this is when our formal staff meeting's going to be. And then you as an owner will have to have more things on the plate, an actual structured staff meeting with measurable things that they can look at for sure. Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's late, you still start on time, right?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, the rest of the team goes, you better get here. We're having a meeting. If you're the lone man out being late, there's some pressure on being on time. Then.
My shop, we all stare at you.
Right? Like you're walking in.
We're going to wait for Kevin. Let's all wait.
Yep. Go put your stuff in the toolbox. We'll watch you walk over there and put your stuff down. And
I think you should shun them. They do it. Shunned, unshunned.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm not doing that again.
There's no peer pressure.
Okay. I want to learn a couple of more things. I want to learn about the office personnel. I mean, I know maybe you say that they're included in the service advisors with the technicians inside. That's great. What kind of meetings do office or staff look like? I also want to know about training that you do, Bill. We'll cover that in a few minutes, but I do know that you're taking some time at noon, I think once a week. And you could classify that as a training meeting too, doing some online video. But let's talk about business management meetings.
Well, one of the things that we do, we have a customer service rep. So our service advisors are in the back. Customer service rep does all of the front end, if you will, Leanne and Skylar do. What we'll do is between 7:30 and 7:45, we have an office meeting. The service advisors, both of them, the CSR, if I'm there, I attend, but if I'm not, it doesn't make a difference. Every morning, whether I'm there or not, they have a meeting deciding what can we take in today? What additional work can we bring in, whether it's another oil change, another maintenance item? In my shop, a broken car comes in no matter what. Whatever that broken car is, it comes in, but sometimes we may only have one or two or three oil changes scheduled for the day, so we can take two or three more. We're having a conversation about the things that we can take in, and it fills the spots, right? Because there's always seems to be every day where someone wants to come in for an oil change that maybe wasn't scheduled, or perhaps maybe maintenance item we talked to them about two or three weeks ago and they want to schedule it. And Skylar will say, hey, do you want to bring it in today? So transmission flush, it's an hour's worth of work. So we'll just schedule them in and make sure that we have that. It just makes the flow of the shop better. And the staff likes it because they kind of get to do different things.
It sounds to me like it's an alignment.
Mm-hmm. No more, no less. It's actually the good thing about doing a transmission flush is one of those things that you machine up and you walk away and go do something else and you come back to it.
It's just aligning goals. What do we have? What could we use? Whatever comes in, let's not hesitate to take these kinds of jobs because of where the schedule looks. And sometimes you're going to take a job that may take a couple of days, but it's good work.
And I know Meg, our service advisor in customer service, and it's usually Megan and Steve, or if I'm just here and Megan's done, it will be me, go down through everyone because we do 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock text updates. So we just go down there with Steve and he'll tell us who he's calling and who he wants us to text and what the update is so that hopefully we're being proactive and they're not calling and asking. They've already have their answer. That takes a little meeting.
What I just heard, and we've talked about this, some of our shows recently, a great panel that we did at Vision was all about communications, the 360 degree of communications. What you're telling me that I just heard, we got systems, we got processes, we have tools and we make this happen.
We try. That's our goal.
There's an honest lady right there.
Yeah. There are times.
Well, that's the beauty about our business. You're always on your toes because it changes just about every 5 minutes. There's always a curveball coming or something happened. That's where our foreman and our advisor in the morning have a quick huddle after his huddle. And he says, this is what I'm at. We know how many hours we book for today. She's got that scheduled in. And he says, okay, we've got this come over from yesterday. They formulate the plan so that when you're dropping your car off and let's say it was an 8-hour job, well, maybe we got to make a new plan for this person before mm-hmm. they're even here. That we're giving them that white glove service. We're taking care of them. We were thinking about how we're going to handle that. So yeah, those are great things. And then I have my time with the advisors to over their KPIs from yesterday. How are we tracking for this week? Is there anything that you guys need help with? All those things are flowing together and it's nonstop, can't stress it, it's communication throughout the day. You're right. It's always going. And the customer satisfaction is higher and they can tell it when the shop's not fumbling their internal communications like this, when everybody's on point and moving forward in the same direction. It does feel different to your customers for sure. So the communication really is an important thing, meetings and everything.
And Doug and Bill, you both said something that I can tell I need to get better at, which is discussing those KPIs. I think I'm afraid of people a little bit and I just want them to be happy and it's all good. And I have goals for bonuses. I do see that they're hungry for that, though. Even my shop, we give them like what their total estimates were and their total opportunity. It wasn't quite simple enough. Not simple enough because they're very intelligent. How we had it wasn't clear enough. They do want to see those things. My guys are paid hourly. They still want to know very much what they're billing out. That's really important to them. Well, I'm afraid of that. I know they want. Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Because what's the end goal? Bill said it's, I want to hear the ka-ching ching. Well, okay. Well, what is ka-ching ching number that we're shooting towards? And update your team where we're at. And here's where we're at against budget. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a live spreadsheet that you can update. There's lots of ways to handle it. But yeah, the goals that they're working towards have to be clear for sure.
We do that on the spreadsheet. It's just not at the meetings. Sure. Probably be a little bit more of the discussion.
I pay my staff salary or hourly also. And we have a bonus program based on hours billed. Mm-hmm. And no, it's great that I look at that sheet every evening because in the morning they write it up. And at the evening I look at it and I'll say, you're only 2 hours away from the bonus program. What are you going to do and how much do you want to make this week? And I enjoy that. I want to pay them that because I want to pay them. But listen, if they make more money, I make more money. And I'm good with that.
Do all of our technicians appreciate when we talk about money, KPIs, volume? Do we talk about customer expectations, satisfied customers? You hear a lot of junk on social media. I went to training and I come back. My boss is going to make more money because I went to training. Or they raise the labor rate and it's all more for them and not for me. We have some bad stuff going on out there, echo chambers in social media circles. What I'm hearing from you, Bill, is they're all on board because you're on board and they realize they can make more money because you're willing to share.
This will be a great conversation for Jamie to follow this because I have a feeling she's much better at this end of it than I would be. I believe, and it took me a long time to get to this point, but I don't think money is going to drive everybody. It's not everybody's push button. So how I have it kind of set up is you can make more money and you can either bank it and you can take time off in the future. You can take the cash and run. You can use it for additional vacation time. You can use it for additional sick time. And it may very well be, listen, if you want to take your kid to Disney World next year and you want me to stockpile some money for you, just give me the number. I'll start a small little bank account for you and we'll make sure it's there when you're ready to take it. I'm always looking for the best way to make them happy. It took me a long time to understand that money doesn't drive, it drives me, but it doesn't drive them. And probably one third of my staff is money driven. The other two thirds is not. One of the best things that I ever learned how to do was at the end of the day, say thank you. Not easy for me. Took me a long time to learn how to do that. And now if I don't say thank you, I feel guilty. I'm on my way home. I'm stopping and texting thank you.
You got to look them in the eye when you say that too, right, Bill?
I do. I make sure that as you've been in my shop, Carm, you walk out the door, you got to walk right past my office. And I'm always standing there saying thank you. And hey, you guys have a great evening. Be safe out there.
When I was at your shop, we did a tour. I believe it's up on the website. I saw these incredible KPI stats. Everyone knows where they stand, where the business stands. And you've got this incredible bulletin board in the center of the shop that everybody can see what's going on.
Yes. And I think it's important for them to know where they're at all the time. I don't really use it as a tool to be competitive. I want them to be competitive against themselves. I want them to make that extra mark where they can make an extra $10 an hour or $12 an hour or $15 an hour. I want them to reach that. If you want to work a little harder, then that's great. A good example with one of my guys last year, he wanted to buy another motorcycle. So I said, that's great. All you got to do is produce an extra 4 hours a week and you can make the payment easily. And that was his goal. He produced an extra 4 hours a week and he went out and bought another motorcycle. He just got it a couple weeks ago. So those are the things that in my head, I got to, as an owner, I have to remember what his goal was. He had that on the goal board that we have in the back that you saw.
You said grateful, right, Jamie? Grateful, what'd you learn, and anything that's got you stumped. In my mind, the word grateful and celebrate almost go together. And to the point where Bill just said, listen, got the motorcycle, or he's got the money to make the payment on the motorcycle. In my mind, that's a celebration.
Also, another thing to go on that slip would be a goal. We have one of our guys who quit smoking 150 some days ago. He shared that kind of early on. I missed that milestone. I want to make a big deal and maybe a wad of cash. It's like, you saved this much. He's going to be healthier. We're all so happy for him because we know how hard it is. But I love when you said that, Bill, about goals, because I think that's a really good one to add. And I think it might be a work goal and it might be, I think one of them wants to buy a different house, which I've kind of known that. And I've kind of been thinking about that. And you don't just give them money, but how you can support them in that.
I'm hearing the word cohesive. You can have meetings, but if you don't run them right and there's no celebration, They're not cohesive. Don't have meetings. But every time you have a meeting, think back. How did it go? What could I do better? What happened? What were the words? And if you commit to making sure that your meetings get better, I don't care if you have 300 of them a year, then all those 300, they need to get better and better and better. And they also, in my opinion, need to change a little bit. Bring in the grateful, the learn, the stump, the cohesiveness, the celebration stuff. And if it doesn't work every day of the week, then we're not going to talk about this stuff, maybe about Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Let's bank up that stuff. Stop the insanity of a continuous format that never changes. That's my opinion. And I think meetings can be fun. You could play music beforehand. What's your favorite song from the 80s? I'm just getting kind of crazy by saying, whoa, Hill's coming in from another off-the-wall thought in the beginning of the meeting. This is kind of cool. Can't wait to hear it. Those make meetings fun.
Well, and our guys choose to do training on Tuesdays because then they're all there. So, and they're watching hybrid and EV stuff now. They always have something different that it's kind of up to them to run it themselves. And then we come in just at the end of it. So it's kind of, they've had that. Usually for us, it's funniest videos of people falling or something that we do otherwise. There's a huge TV in our break room for training, and we usually just watch funniest videos.
Because we've been doing lunch meetings for so long, sometimes it just, frankly, they get boring. So what I tend to do probably 3 or 4 times a year is we bring in somebody from the outside. Like we brought in a juggler to teach our staff how to juggle.
Oh, good.
We brought in a comedian to entertain them. We actually brought in somebody who could help do some financial planning for them. We brought in a veteran who had lost his leg in Afghanistan, and he told us the difficulties he had with that. So we're always trying to do something a little bit different, and not every meeting has to be productive. There is just some times where we have lunch meetings, like Jamie said, we just sit around and talk. We just be out, because not every meeting has to be productive. Sometimes the staff just needs to know that it's just going to be a relaxing, fun meeting, and we're going to talk amongst each other.
Bill, let me get some clarity. For example, you brought in the veteran. That wouldn't have been a morning meeting. That would have been a lunch meeting, right?
That's a lunch meeting once a week, every Thursday at lunch.
Every Thursday at lunch. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, we buy lunch every Thursday for our staff.
We do something that's going to make some HR people cringe. Fridays is Two Beer Fridays. And it's after we're all done with work, we have a small staff, and it's always only two, because they should go home and they can drive home then. One time it was more than two, only one. And not everybody stays all the time. It's Friday night. You might have something to go and do, but it was one of our wonderful employees. I think he used to do it with his buddies at his old shop, but they'd sit out in their car on Fridays when he was a kid. So it's just, and sometimes people have one or they don't have anything to drink, but they just sit and talk for a few minutes before they go home on the weekend. And it's just time to talk about what they're doing on the weekend. Usually it's not work stuff. It's maybe we're all just laughing, and it's just a time to decompress and go home then.
My shop foreman, one of our guys just finished his first year apprenticeship and brought forward, let's have a Friday night get together meeting and pizza, and they had a couple beer. It was fine. But again, it was all done without me. That group decides now that that's just something they can do together as a group. I was just told to make sure there was pizza here. It's just great to watch your guys come together and do that for each other. I didn't even have to do it. They were doing it for each other. So it was great. Those are great things to see, right?
I think that makes me as proud as being a parent and watching my kids and like my son-in-laws care about each other and do 100%. That. It's like, they're all going to be okay whether I'm here or not. And I forget what happened recently. And I just thought, I just love that. Oh. One of my techs was looking out for another one. It was just cool.
And the sad part is it didn't dawn on me to do that. But on them, it was important and they was appreciated for sure, right?
What I think is best about what the two of you just said is that you have complete trust and faith in your staff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that they're not going to take advantage of you. They're not going to do something foolish, and they're not going to go and drink more than they should. Mm-hmm. And I applaud you for that. That's awesome.
They might when they go home, but then it's not.
Me too.
I don't even want, one of them has a small child. I know what it was like when I was a stay-at-home mom. I couldn't wait to get out of the house and mow the lawn when Eric came home. I wouldn't want anyone to be trapped at home because someone's having beers at work. But sometimes the spouses come too.
Wait a minute. You cut the grass for Eric?
I was a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to get away from my children.
Oh, I got it.
I probably should have gone back to work quicker than I did.
There's one thing you get from Jamie, straight up honest truth every time.
I can't help it. Right.
Look, I got to tell you, this was a great, I think every discussion point that I wanted to know in the beginning of the episode, you came through with it. Let's just go around the room. And what I want you to do is I want you to say, I'm the naysayer. Carm, convince me why I need to turn my company around with meetings. Let's go to Jamie Carlson from Irvine's Auto Repair. Jamie?
I know it feels stupid in the beginning and it feels like a waste of time. And quite frankly, I would still rather have standing up meetings so that we could move them along and get other things done. I think it really is beneficial. And if you write things down and you go back to them the next meeting, I think your staff will appreciate it and eventually you will too. And you might have to change how you're doing them along the way. But I think you'll be glad you did.
Thank you. She brought up a great point. I want to stop our round robin here and just say, are the huddles stand up or are they sit down?
I am not out there for the huddles. I'm assuming stand up.
Doug, stand up, sit down.
Yep, stand up usually.
Stand up.
Got it. Cool.
I think that's why it's a huddle.
That's what the point means. Yeah, it's the football analogy. Bill Hill, Mighty Auto Pro, Medina. Convince me, man.
I would say if you're not comfortable with it, you don't want to do them, continue with them. Don't quit on them. Make it happen, because what you will see, just like with anything that's worth trying, in the long run, it will get better. And you'll get better, they'll get better, they'll appreciate it more, and you will bring a great closeness to your team that you didn't have before, not only with you, with them, but with them, with each other. One of the things I always try and do at the end of my meeting when I am there is I try and end it with something fun, have a good conversation. But this last Friday, I said that we were really overwhelmed. And I said, listen, let's just get going and let's have a great day and get all this stuff out of here. And we had a $23,000 day.
Nice.
Okay, Bill, I have to ask you a question. You just said, if I'm not there. So when you're not there.
They have them whether I'm there or not.
They have them whether or not. And is any one particular person that leads or they just discuss as a group?
My service advisor leads just because he's been with me the longest. He's been with me for 13 years. So he leads it if I'm not. And honestly, there's a lot of times when I am there where if I'm tied up with a client, he just starts it without me. They know exactly what to do.
Thank you, Bill Hill. Doug Callahan, Vic's Service Center, Wainwright, Alberta. Convince me, man.
So as a CEO, you're always going to want to know what the culture is in your business. So in order to do that, you need to listen and dig in. And the huddle is a perfect spot to maybe just ask some questions and listen and take in what you're hearing and start figure out where the culture is in your building. And then where you can leverage that for everybody's benefit.
Wow, this was great. Company meetings and huddles. So appreciate this. Town Hall Academy. Thank you so much for giving up your time to help improve our industry. Thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.